Blog Talk Radio.
Well, I am Lalisa J. Williams, your coach, and I am honored and grateful to be here to assist you. Stay tuned for the next 30 minutes and enjoy the show. You can contact Coach Lalisa after the show via the internet. You can visit the website, www.lalisajwilliams.com. Or for free coaching sessions just for you, go to www.mylifecompass.com/Lalisa Williams. Now I want you to sit back, get that pen and pencil out, get ready to take lots of notes. We got activities lined up for you. Get ready to go to another level in your life. And don't forget, invite a friend tomorrow. The show is going to be awesome. And now, Coach Lalisa J. Williams.
Good morning, good morning, good morning, and welcome, welcome, welcome to the Coach Lalisa Show. Today is Friday. Thank God it's Friday. Oh, wow. We got a great weekend ahead of us. But to bright today, we got a great day right now and right here. We want to get this weekend started right. So we want to welcome you to the show. Welcome to those of you who are listening via the switchboard. If you tuned in via the switchboard, we want to say good morning, and welcome. Those of you who would like to tune in via get into the chat room won't quite be able to do that today. Well, you never know. I tell you, sometimes things start out one way, but they end up another. You know, that's why it's so important not to get too comfortable sometimes with things, because change is just, you know, looming overhead. Before you know it, things are changing. I don't know about you, but I've seen a lot of changes in my lifetime. We were talking the other day, and we were talking about some of the major changes that individuals make when they transform their lives from a tragedy to a triumph. You know, when you take your life to a whole new level. And the interesting thing, and the, I think, and the really important thing to keep in mind here is that, you know, each and every one of us, we have this opportunity to do just that. We have the unique and distinct, you know, opportunity to change our lives. But it starts with a desire to do that, willingness, you know. We have to take charge of your life. So good morning. It's Kiva Renee in Nashville, Tennessee. How's it everything going down in Nashville? I know our coaching team, we have a big conference coming up in Nashville, Tennessee in October. So I'm hoping to get back down that way in October. I certainly enjoyed my time while I was there several months back, possibly even last year. Oh, yes, that was last year. Wow, look how time flies. So, yes, Nashville, Tennessee, they're holding it down there. I want to say good morning to my friend and sister, Hope Harper, all the way in Cincinnati, Ohio. Say congratulations to all that she's doing with her business, the dry cleaning business. She's in the dry cleaning business, y'all. She's doing great things over there. And we just want to say congratulations to you and wish you continued and much success. So, let's see, who else do we want to say? Oh, yes, we want to say good morning or good evening to Mr. Paul Kiriazzi. We did find out that he did travel to the United States, but I believe he's back now, safe and sound in Tokyo, Japan. So I don't know any Japanese, but I do have a friend who I attend church with. She does speak Japanese. So maybe one day I'll have her call into the show and see if she could say a few words and converse back and forth with you, Paul. Good morning to my good friend, partner, and colleague, Patricia Martin. Good morning. I tell you, if you all missed the call yesterday, it was hot. We had this awesome person on, Mr. George Cook, for some of you who happened to tune in yesterday. If you did not tune in and you have children or grandchildren or any child that you want to help, if you just want to help children educationally, academically, and emotionally and socially, you might want to go listen to that show. He is the president of the Board of Education, okay? That's a pretty big job. And it's an important job, is what I mean. The education of our youth, let me tell you, that's serious. He has five or six schools under his watch. That's a lot of work. So anyway, you want to check that out. Important information that he shared from the perspective of the teachers and the leaders in education. And he gave out some great suggestions and really advice to parents in how they can ensure that their children get the best education. And sometimes parents don't feel that they have the power to do that. But parents, you have to take the power to do it. Nobody's going to give it to you. I know you put your children in the finest threads money can buy, but that's not enough. You, mother, father, whomever you are as a guardian, you have to take charge. Get down to that school, whatever it takes. And today, it's not like back in the day where companies would fire you for taking off if you had children that you had to deal with. No, today a lot of companies have work-life balance initiatives and policies and programs. And all you have to do is go and speak to your supervisor or to the human resources department and get your company's perspective on it. And then, you know, let them know, I have to go to my child's school. Listen, this is important to you. You must do it. So it was a great conversation. We are looking to have him back. So we did, you know, we did the whole show. And then later, I had not known him before. But then later on Facebook, then I noticed that he was my cousin through my husband's side of the family. And a cousin of my husband's, which is my cousin, is also his cousin, so I didn't know that at the time of the show. Now, also what I didn't know about Mr. George is said, he's an author. He's authored several books, not one book, but several. And he's authored books to help you raise, especially your boys. Because I know he wants to stop a lot of the negativity surrounding our young, our teenage boys. And he wants to help increase the high school graduation rates, college entrance rates, and also he wants to lessen the amount of time that they spend in prison and the amount of time they spend getting shot and in the hospital. You know, in some towns, it is the inner city youth who have increased these hospitals dollars so much so that they now have marble on the floor. They have chrome and beautiful, you know, scenery. When you go into these hospitals, you think you're in like, you know, a big fancy corporation. Well, that's because all these medical trips, you know, are costing someone. So we had a great show, but I also want to say good morning to our midweek inspirator, Mr. Versi Walker. Good morning, Barbara. And good morning, Lisa, to my cousin, Lisa, in case she tunes in. That's Lisa Bivens, that is. Good morning to you, Lisa, if you tuned in. Also want to give a shout-out to Miss Virginia Dancy, Dr. Cindy Hunter, and Pastor Aretha Pugh Robinson. These are the powerful women that are putting together the Releasing Your Inner Power Conference, the Releasing Your Inner Power Conference down in North Carolina, where we're going to be in just 2 weeks. I can't believe it's already here. That's June 24th. We will be at the Hyatt Place, which is located at 1619 Stanley Road in Greensboro. On Friday, I will be doing the general session. I'll be doing some coaching for those who don't know what coaching is. Those who want to sign up for coaching programs, they will be able to. Then we will do workshops all day Saturday from 9 to 4. Then we break from 4 to 7. Then we have an evening activity. And then Sunday, some of us will go off to church. And she's also looking into getting tickets to one of the great black museums down there in Greensboro, North Carolina. From there, some of us will be traveling home, such as myself, traveling back to New Jersey. So I'm really, really, really looking forward to this conference. Lunch is included. And ticket information, I'm telling you, you're going to get a lot for your money. This is a recession-proof conference because you're going to get all of that for just $25. Now, if you desire to take that trip with me, please contact me through Facebook right away. We still have room for maybe, you know, two or three more people, so definitely let us know. The hotel rooms are $79 a night, but we only have that rate up until June 15th. So you need to contact me before June 15th to take advantage of that super rate for a room at the Hyatt. I'm telling you, it's really, that's a nice place. It's not, you know, a flea bag motel. So this is going to be awesome, awesome, awesome. And we have the workshops coming from Miss Aretha Pugh Robinson, Dr. Hunter. She's also the author of The Diary of a Crack Addict's Wife, and she's the host and founder of Tea Talk, which is a program where women who have been abused, or have been involved in marriages where their spouses were addicted to drugs or alcohol or something, and they want to come together for support and strategies on how to triumph over their tragedy, they meet with Dr. Hunter, and she's phenomenal. So this will be I've been knowing Dr. Hunter for about 6 years, and this will be our first conference together like this. Now, we've done other events, and I'm telling you, she is a powerhouse. Boy, oh boy, oh boy, wait till you meet her. We're looking to get her here to New Jersey. But let me tell you, this lady is dynamic. Also, we have Mr. William Thompson. He's a financial planner, and he's going to talk about when you learn to solve your problems, you create money. When you learn to solve other people's problems, you create create wealth. So that says enough right there. I don't even have to say any more. You understand what that is, what's meant by that. And then I'll be doing the workshop. I'll be the guest speaker and running most of the program. This is the conference that we've put together here, and we've done that several years. And Ms. Dancy, Ms. Virginia Dancy, who will also be vending, there will be a few other vendors. She came to the conference here and offered to host it down there in North Carolina. So if others of you would like to host this conference, please contact me. If in your city, contact me and we'll show you how to do it. But the Releasing Your Inner Power Conference, I am so excited about this. I wish there were more people here that could go with me, but some of you were here. We had this in New Jersey a couple of years. We were at the Wyndham Hotel. Many of you were there last year. We did it in July of last year. And then we honored about 20 different women from different careers and different backgrounds. And so that was awesome. Now, we won't be doing that piece there because that really takes a lot and a lot of time to select the women and, you know, do all the presenting. However, we will make some presentations while we're there. So we want to keep that going. But when we do it here in New Jersey, it is the Releasing Your Inner Power Conference and Awards Brunch. So it is actually two parts. So hopefully maybe next year we'll be able to do it in another city where it will actually be also an awards brunch. Or when we go back to North Carolina, who knows, probably we'll have a few cities that will do this, you know, each year. And then what I would love to do as people, you know, get underway and they understand the mission and the purpose behind the Releasing Your Inner Power Conference, then individuals can do it on their own. But now the Releasing Your Inner Power Conference, the mission and the purpose of that conference is to empower women and men to live out their life's dream, their fullest potential in life. Not just to live your dream, but to live to your fullest potential. To discover what's behind the scenes, so to speak. To help people, you know, get out from behind the curtain and get in front on stage. To get out on stage. To present your life to the world. You know, the world's been waiting. It's like almost helping people who've been in the back planning and putting it all together. But now it's time to take center stage. Time to take front stage, front and center. And so that's what this conference is about. But it also empowers people who did not think they could do it. I love taking people. We love it. We love taking people who don't think they can do it. Those are my favorite people, as a matter of fact. If you know anyone, please, if you know anyone that is struggling with doing something, like say, for instance, you have a friend or family member, or spouse for that matter, and you've been talking to them for maybe the past year, 5 years, even 10 years, even 20, I'll take the hard cases of people, and you've been encouraging them and telling them that they should do this or they should do that, or you thought about telling them but you didn't know how to approach them, you didn't know what to say. That is my specialty. I love doing that. Please send them my way or have them tune into the show. Send them to my Facebook page, whatever you need to do. And believe me, you, that is my absolute favorite cup of tea, is to get with people who don't think they can do things. And, you know, and people would say, well, that's kind of a weird, you know, passion to have, Lalisa. Yeah, it is. I know, right? It's kind of quirky, right? You know, helping people that don't see it, don't really want to see it. But for some reason, that's the group that God chose for me. And so people will say, well, how do you know? Because, you know, we always tell people, go find your purpose. Find your purpose. Live your purpose. Do your purpose. Be your purpose. Get your purpose. And some people, their answer back is, what is my purpose? I don't know. I can't find it. And I don't know. I got to wait. And so here I am living my purpose. And people would say, well, how do you do it? And the way you do it is, you look at, no, really, and I know this is going to sound so simple to some people, and then some people are going to say, for some people it's going to be too simple, they're not going to believe it. You know, he said it was so simple they would stumble over it. People are not going to get it because they're going to think it's too simple when they're looking for something grandiose, okay? But with God, you take the simple make it grandiose. All those people that are waiting for the grandiose to come their way, well, I got a newsflash for you. You're going to be waiting a very, very, very long, 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 long time. Okay? Just know that. If you are waiting for the grandiose, you know, the big thing to come your way, you're going to be waiting a while. That's if you're waiting and not working. If you're working, now, here's that, what you ought to be doing is taking the small thing, the little tiny thing, and working with that until it becomes the grandiose. That's how it should go. But in case no one told you that, well, allow me to be the first to clue you in. You know I love doing that. I love cluing people in. That is like my ultimate joy in life. So I have my ultimate thing to do, my ultimate purpose, and my ultimate joy is to clue people into things that they didn't know before. Well, if you didn't know that, you don't wait on the grandiose. You create the grandiose from little small things. Things that didn't seem like anything to anyone else. But you took it, and you worked with it, and you built on it, and it becomes so humongous. Because it's all up to how much work you put into it. Again, look at various people. It could be Bill Gates. You could look at Oprah Winfrey. The things that they did that have become gigantic things were everyday things that other people did. But they didn't develop it into something that was grandiose, like with Oprah and with Bill Gates or with Mark Hansen or with Victor Hansen. Right, you know the chicken soup. I never get their names right. The chicken soup for the soul people. They took something small, and look how giant it is. Okay? Everybody and their mother has a chicken soup book, chicken soup for the teenage soul, chicken soup for the African-American soul, chicken soup for the mother soul, chicken soup for the this and the that. It's like a million types of chicken soup out there. But it was just initially one word on a page. You know, that's how that all of that started. That whole, he's got his own series, and then he's partnered with every group in the world, and they've got a book, Chicken Soup for the College Student Soul, and Chicken Soup for the Poet, you know. There's a million of them now. And it started with one word on a piece of paper. Can you believe it? Just one word. But, you know, it's true what they say. The journey of a thousand steps, I mean, the journey of a thousand miles starts with just one step. That's like me walking from New Jersey to Ohio. That's about 1,000 miles, maybe not quite. So maybe from New Jersey to, let's go to maybe possibly Chicago. It's like 1,000 miles or so. But to walk there, I need to take one step. If I keep stepping, I would make it. As long as I kept stepping. Now, if I stopped along the way, stopped in Virginia, you know, and turned back, of course I would never make it. Or if I, you know, stopped in Ohio and turned back, of course not, I wouldn't make it. But if I kept going forward, hear me, forward, moving forward. If I kept moving forward, eventually, I'd get to Chicago. And that's how it is. And that's, as a matter of fact, now I just gave you a clue. That's the topic that I'm going to be presenting in North Carolina. Release and move forward. That's my topic for North Carolina. Release and move forward. That's what it's about. It's about releasing, but not just standing still. You didn't get released to stand still. When we say releasing your inner power, you're not releasing your inner power to stay stagnant, to stay complacent, to stay where you are. No, no, you did that to move forward, and you do a little bit at a time. So we don't wait for the grandiose, but how I discovered my purpose. And, you know, it's so funny because, you know, we always talk about our past and what the past holds. Then there's the future, there's the present. But what value does the past have, especially when there's been a lot of hurt and tragedy and trauma and chaos and crisis? What does the past hold for us? What value is in the past when it's filled with drama and trauma and crises? and tragedies, hurts, disappointments, rejection. What value is there? Well, your purpose, believe it or not, is locked up in your past. And that's why a lot of people, they will leave this earth and they will never have lived their purpose. Sure, they would have done, they probably did some great things. They probably even had a great time. They probably amassed a large amount of money. Who knows? But they didn't do the one thing that God requires, and that's for us to live out our purpose, the thing that he created us to do, the journey, the reason we were on that journey in the first place. And many people, unfortunately, they won't do this because they just simply don't know. No one's told them. And again, I like to clue people in, so I'm going to keep reminding. I know some people say, well, you've told us that before. Okay, so are you doing it yet? I'll tell you again. See, there's no need of me telling you anything new if you haven't done what we've already told you to do. If you're living your purpose, great, wonderful. But if you're still not, if you have still yet to tap in to that. See, sometimes I understand how we can try to feed on everything else so that we can ignore the real issue. I did that as a child. I got into all that trouble because I wanted to ignore the real issue, is that I was being hurt and being rejected because I was being abused and used. Yet, it's that very abuse that gives me my greatest work and satisfaction and joy today. The very thing that looked like it was my worst nightmare, you know, the end of my life, the destruction of my world, the same tragedy that tried to take me out of here is the same exact thing that's giving me triumph today. And I suspect that for a lot of people, this is the case. But many, many people don't know. They just simply don't know. They don't know. They may think they know, but they really don't know. Because if you were to ever try it, if you were to ever go back and to try and solve. See, you know, we can go get jobs. That's for most people can go get jobs. All you know, jobs is so funny because a job is really not the hardest thing to get. And even in this horrible economy, I mean, let's face it, in this horrible economy, as horrible as it is in terms of, you know, the jobs and companies not hiring, there's still 3 million jobs available, like, currently, if not more. Currently, there's at least 3 million jobs that are unfilled. That's what I mean. So, no, it won't, you know, it won't get everybody off the unemployment roll, but it can get 3 million people off. And how would you like to hear that for a headline in the morning news? 3 million people got jobs today. And especially if you live in a place like New York where they're talking about laying off almost 1,000 city workers or people in that field, in that area, some kind of way, with the city of New York. So why is this? Why is there so many jobs and yet so many people still saying they can't find jobs? Well, to unlock that problem, that equation, you have to think about this. Jobs are hiring differently today, and they always kind of thought about it, but they didn't do it as forceful as they are today. Today, companies, well, they're using computers, so they're able to do it more effectively. Companies have always hired people that could do the job. That's what you do. You hire people that could do the job. That means that before you hire someone, you need to know if they're able to get the job done. So that's why you got to look at their application, do an interview. Give them some tests to see if they're capable of doing the job. Well, today, because there's computers and technology. They built computer scanning systems where once you put your resume in, it can scan for certain skills that you have listed in your resume. So if the skills that the job says they need are not listed on your resume, you won't even get a call. They won't even, your resume will never get picked up by the machine. So for those people who want to get hired and you're not able to really communicate your skills on your resume, your best bet is to network, is to meet people face-to-face through events and other activities and get your resume into the hand of someone who can take it to the company. A friend may work there, a family member may work there, or somebody you know. That's your best bet. Because if it goes through the machine and it doesn't have the skill sets there, you're not going to get called. And so that's how resumes, that's how it works today in terms of interviewing. And you know you can't get hired if you don't get the interview. First they got to talk to you. Again, unless it's a family member hiring you or someone you can walk into their establishment. But a lot of companies don't take walk-ins these days. You know, it's people just, you know, acting too crazy. I don't know if I had a business, I probably wouldn't take a walk-in either. But no, we still let people walk in, customers and what have you. So your purpose, something little, start small and grow it. Okay, so like we're doing some new projects that we're working on. Myself and Patricia and a couple other people, we're working on some new projects. Now, we don't expect success overnight, but we have to start somewhere. Remember, Chicken Soup for the Souls, a huge series, started with just one word, just one word. As a matter of fact, the road that I remember my brother-in-law one time, they drove from Cincinnati, Ohio, all the way to Los Angeles, California. They drove a car. And that's a long road. Now, that's about 3,000 miles right there from Cincinnati to California. 3,000 plus miles, right? And so from here to California must be about close to 4,000 miles. So 4,000 miles of pavement, road. Think about it. It started with just putting down cement in one spot. One spot that probably was no bigger than a few yards has turned into thousands of miles worth of pavement, bridges. So think about that for what you're working on. But you got to get started. And then your purpose, keep in mind that your purpose in life, not necessarily your job, not necessarily your vocation, not necessarily your ministry, but your purpose, which you can do. Now, so some people are fortunate enough that their purpose may be their day job. You know, that's my case. It may be your paying job. You're not really fortunate. But basically, you were guided and led that way through the Spirit, or you knew what your purpose was and you sought jobs that fulfill your purpose. Like some people, they know what their purpose is and they go to school and they'll study and get a degree based on their purpose. Like some people know that their purpose is to help others. And so they'll go, instead of getting a degree in, let's just say, you know, accounting or economics or whatever, which is still helping others, by the way, but helping people with their, like, individual personal problems. Instead, they'll go get a degree possibly in psychology or sociology, you see, and then they'll be able to get a job working in directly in what they love doing and also what is their purpose. So, you know, once you discover. But some people, it's not like that for most people. For most people, you know, you have a job doing something you love doing. It could be a gift or it could be a talent. It's something that you love doing. It's your gift, it's your talent. And you get a job doing that. And that's wonderful. That's great. But your purpose, now that's a different story. Your purpose is something that gives you that ultimate fulfillment. It's the way, it's the reason, it's like you're doing something that you know it's not you. You know it's not you doing it. Like you wouldn't have even chosen that. That's nothing you would have chosen to do. And that's how you can tell. It's the thing that you were created to do. You didn't choose it. It chose you, so to speak. And again, all you got to do is just look back over your past. You know, for myself, helping people to be something that they cannot even see for themselves is exactly the person that I was. That's where I was stuck. I couldn't see myself successful in school. I never saw myself like that. But I know my purpose is to help other young people see that. Because I couldn't see it. I can help others see it. You know, I never, you know, like I said, I always joke and say when I talk to these young people, I'm quick to let them know, wow, what does it feel like to do homework? I never did homework in that grade. 8th, 9th, 10th, and 11th grade. I don't even know what it feels like to do homework. And the only reason is that I was able to get away with it. I don't know how. I don't understand that. Well, I do understand it because in those days, you could pass a class. You didn't have to take a test to go out of that grade. You know, you took tests at the end of the school year and all that, you know, regular tests in your classroom, but you didn't have to take proficiency tests like they have today. I know in New Jersey we have the GEPA, the ESPA, the GEPA, and the HEPA, and the HESPA. We didn't have that back in those days, so you could get passed on to the next grade even without doing very much, but meeting some attendance requirement. If you didn't miss X amount of days, they would move you on to the next. And, I mean, I'm sure I did some schoolwork while I was in school. But homework, that was out of the question. And the funniest thing is that, you know, it's so, like, I meet people sometimes. It's so funny to me. It's hilarious, right? I meet people who are my age or in their 40s, right, and what have you, possibly even in their 30s, but mostly people around my age, 40 or whatever. And they'll say, you know, we'll talk about school or whatever. And they possibly could have been a high school dropout themselves or whatever. And they'll say, well, when I was in school, I did well. I had great grades, you know. And I remember some years ago, that would be to me, I would be like, oh, wow, you know, you must be really smart and all this and that. And, oh, that wasn't me. But I've come to realize that had I sat in class and was quiet and listened to the teacher, took notes. Now, I never did this, but I think I did it, I know, once or twice, but not much. And if I had taken notes, if I had gotten out of school and went straight home, I never went straight home from school, that's number one. Just know that. I never went straight home from school. So parents, I'm giving you all the warning signs that your child is probably going to flunk out of school. Take it for what it's worth. If you don't intervene, I'm trying to give you the portrait of a high school dropout, okay? If you don't want it, that's on you. But I'm giving it to you anyway. If you don't take it and use it, well, fine. But you would have to intervene. So here, I never went straight home from school, ever. Therefore, that's why I didn't do any homework. Didn't bring any homework home. So the only way I was going to do any homework is that there was a book already at the house. So if there was no book there, then there was no homework going to be done because I wasn't bringing any homework home. I had a locker, and the few books or notebooks that I had went in that locker. Okay? And there were 7 kids in our house. So I was kind of slick. You know, I manipulative. So I knew my mom would not notice me, okay? She's got her other children, they're doing stuff, she's getting home, she's tired, she's been working all day. All she wants to do is rest a little bit, make sure there was dinner, and then she needed to be, you know, getting ready for work the next day. And she ha- had a lot of projects to work on. She was a manager. So, you know, managers take work home with them. So she was always working on something. Anyway, so for the most part, I could get under the radar, you know. And I wasn't too bad, so I was still looking like I was handling the whole situation, right? But, you know, if I had just sat in class, listened to the teacher, took some notes, and if I had gone straight home from school, did my homework. Really, the homework that they probably gave us back then, I probably could have done most of it before I even left the school, or I could have did it on the school bus. But most of the time, I didn't take the school bus. I walked home with friends because the money that was given to us for the school bus, that was money that was used to buy cigarettes and other stuff that I didn't need to have anyway. So we typically walked home from school because that money was precious. What? So we weren't using that money to take a bus. Are you kidding? So that money went, you know, on us, okay? So, or we would put it together. By the time we put all our little monies together, we had enough to, like, buy a nickel bag. You know, back then, $5. So we had five or six of us all putting our little dollars in. So we were, every day, I was very ingenuitive, I would say, and didn't even know it. So here I am in school. Had I listened, had I done my homework, I would have been a straight-A student. Which is funny to me, you know. So I don't know, maybe I'll write a book that says, I was a high school dropout, but I could have been a straight-A student. And so you might say, well, Elisa, how do you know that? You know, you don't know that you could have been a straight-A student if you had done those things. Well, yeah, I do know, because when I turned 33 and went to Essex County College, I was in the zeros level classes that they had for math and what have you. I got straight A's by doing, I didn't do anything different. I'm still Elisa. Actually, I'm older, haven't been in school in 15 years. So, if anything, it should have been a struggle for me. It wasn't. Because what did I do? I sat up front. I went to every class. I looked at the teacher as they were speaking. I took notes of everything they said, and what I couldn't write down, I taped on a recorder. I went out, instead of taking my money, spending it on cigarettes and other stuff, I bought a recorder. I taped it. By the way, I stopped smoking by that time. I took, around the same year that I started college, I quit smoking cigarettes, and I took a recorder, and I recorded every session, and played it back, and listened to it about 10 times. Yep, one recording I would listen to about 10 times. And then when I got home, now I had to go to work, got off work at 5, went to class from like 6 to 10 at night, because sometimes I was taking 2 or 3 classes, 10 at night, got home at 10 o'clock at night, and I sat and did homework until midnight. I went to bed at midnight. My husband, we had just married, 1990, went to bed, got up in the morning, and got ready for my 9 a.m. job. And I did that every day. And then I realized that at night I was getting, you know, I felt myself slipping, that I wasn't grasping as much information when I was tired at midnight trying to study economics and accounting, and these are the courses I was taking. I was a business major. So I took the psychology class, and they talked about people's biological clocks and how everybody's is different. So I remembered that the teacher said, you know, was helping us to try to discover what ours was. And then they talked, of course, about the brain and the activity of the brain and things like that, and how in the morning your brain is fresh, and if you want to learn and memorize and remember things, do it early when your brain is fresh. So I switched my schedule a little bit. I said, okay, I'll try it. I hated getting up in the mornings, but I said it's worth a try because I want to get straight A's. I was getting A's, and I wanted to keep it up. So what I would do, I still had to go to work, get off work, go to class till 10 o'clock at night, get home at 10, and then I would only study for an hour. Then I was in bed by 11, and so instead of getting up at 7 in the morning to get ready for work, I got up at 6 in the morning. I put that extra hour of studying in the morning when my brain was fresh, and it made all the difference in the world. And so I'm telling you this so that you can assess for yourself anything that you want to do, you can do if you just put your mind to it. You can do it. So that's, but sometimes you need to know how it works. I know because some people, they would want to do things that are like, how do I do it? How does it work? So, again, that's what we're here for. That's what the show is all about, is to help empower you, show you, guide you so that you can be a success at the things that you want to do. So for those of you who needed that little plan, and but the same thing for your students. You might have children who are in high school, and maybe they're failing. You know, look at their schedule, see how they're handling it. Look at their process. How are they processing their day? If the child is going to school and coming home and spending those first few hours, you know, I don't know, maybe they should have some downtime and then do the homework when they've had a little rejuvenation. They feel a little bit more fresh. Maybe do homework right after dinner. Maybe they feel, I don't know, maybe the dinner, if it's something healthy, it may give them more energy versus you've gotten off school, now you're a little tired. You know, on your way home, you know, you're going to hang out and play with your friends. You might be a little wore out, and so to come home and do homework. But some children are geared up. So if you're an afternoon person, then you just really came alive at 2 o'clock in the afternoon. So you may be, you know, good to go. So, you know, you got to kind of work with your own clock and kind of assess what that is. And basically, you know, the way you do that is you just kind of look over your life and see when you feel the best. When you see yourself getting the most done, that's probably an indication of what your biological clock is. If you're the type of person that you may go to work at 9 o'clock in the morning, but you may not get started, your day really starts at 1, then you know you're an afternoon person. Could be the opposite. If you're the type of person who you get to work at 9 o'clock nonstop and you can get like all of your 8 hours worth of work done and it's only 11, then you know you're a morning person. And flow with that. Now, if you're an evening person, well, I don't know. You better take a night job. But but if, either way, you know, you can work around your schedule. And your schedule is important. It's important that you know what it is. So that's what we're talking about here, is that when it comes to being a success in life, when it comes to taking charge of your life, your career, your dreams, your goals, living out your true purpose. The message that I want, what is like, you know, three main things that I want you to take away today, okay? Three main things that I want you to take away today. Number one thing that I want you to take away today, start small and keep going, okay? Start small and keep going. Move forward. All right? Start small and move forward. That's one of the three, like, key things that I want you to take away today. Start small and move forward. And keep going. Keep moving forward. Don't stop. The second key thing I want you to know is that if you're waiting for the grandiose thing to fall in your lap or to show up before you get going, you're going to be waiting a long, long, long time. And so the point there is that you don't wait for the grandiose. You create the grandiose. Okay? That's the second key thing, is that you don't wait for the grandiose thing to happen. You create it. You plan it. You sit down, draw up a plan for the grandiose thing that you're waiting to show up in your life. the house with the picket fence, your own business with your name on the outside of it, you speaking in front of thousands and thousands of people, whatever your mind can conceive, that's your grandiose thing, happily married and raising your children, whatever it might be. Traveling around the world, donating money to all types of organizations and people's problems. That's what you see as your life, a philanthropist. Wonderful. All you see for yourself is being called and you show up and write the check. Fine. That's what you see as a grandiose life for yourself. Whatever it is, start creating it now. Write down the plan. Sit down, take time to write down the plan and how you're going to get there. Because nobody's going to give it to you. Nobody's going to show up and knock on your door and say, okay, here's your grandiose life. Go live it. Don't work like that. I wish it did. I'd have been the first one in line, trust me. It doesn't work that way. You have to create it. Now, how do you do that? You have to attend seminars. You have to tune in to shows like this. You have to read books. You have to go to the library. You have to go to training. You have to go to workshops, teleseminars, whatever it takes. That's how you get the planning going. And then the third main takeaway that I want to leave you with today. All the junk that happened in your past that you might consider trash, take that trash and find your treasure. Basically, that's what I'm saying. Take that tragedy, make it your triumph. Take that trash and make it your treasure. Go and find the very thing. It's like finding your purpose. Go back, the very thing that you tried to run from and hide from and throw it away, and because it ain't going nowhere, trust me, it's going to keep, and you know what I'm talking about. All of you know what I'm talking about, and you know what thing it is, so there's no need to pretend, well, I didn't have anything. Yes, you did. Oh, yes, you did, because no one gets out of this world without one, okay? If you didn't have one, keep on living, because it's coming, all right? It may not seem like much of a tragedy, but believe me, you, whatever it was, it could have been a crisis. Maybe it wasn't a tragedy. Maybe it was a crisis. Maybe it wasn't a trauma. Maybe it was just drama. So I said drama, trauma, crises, tragedies, traumatic experiences, all of those things qualify for you to look there and then find and take that thing and make that work your purpose. Okay, so you got those three things. Did you write them down? Well, I hope you wrote them down. If not, you'll have to go back and listen to the archives and get them. So those are the three main takeaways for the show today that I hope that you take that with you, and I hope you do something with it and watch it grow. You know, one of the greatest things, I think, as a human being, that we can do is to watch something grow. I think that's why so many people are mesmerized with the children and why so many women love having them, and men too, because you get a chance, especially for women, because, you know, you have this thing growing inside you for like 9 months before you ever get to watch it in the natural eye. But it's something about watching something grow. I don't know for you, but for me, it is like a sheer natural high for me is to watch things grow. And it's just like a plant or a flower. Like somebody will plant a tomato seed and to watch it grow, or plant peppers or whatever else you might plant, flowers. You know, some people plant churches and other houses of worship, and some people plant colleges, some people plant dry cleaners. It's whatever you plant and you watch it grow. It's a beautiful, it's the most beautiful sight. So here you are, you're taking your life, so to speak, and you're going to plant your scenario, like I said, and watch it grow. It's going to grow. It's going to grow big. It's going to grow beautiful. It's going to be awesome. And you get to, now, if it started out full grown, then you would miss this awesome process of watching it grow. But, no, you're going to watch it grow. You're going to take it from its infant stage, and you're going to add to it, you're going to nourish it, you're going to nurture it, you're going to process it, you're going to care for it, and it will grow. Oh, here's another, let me just give you one number one growth strategy before we leave for the weekend, and we'll be back on Monday. Let me give you one growth strategy. If you add to it, it'll grow. But make sure you're adding positive things, because you don't want to grow in the wrong direction. I did that too, so you don't want to do that. Don't just add anything to it. But add positive things that support where it is you're trying to get to, that grandiose idea. So continue to pour in. You know, just continue to pour in and grow that, and it'll get big. Watch, okay? So that's all we have time for today. We are down to the end of the show. We thank you for tuning in. I want to again say good morning to each and every one of you, to our good friend Nicole Simpson. She is doing an event tonight and tomorrow here in the city of Newark, so I want to say congratulations to her. I also want to give a shout-out to our friend Rebecca Simmons, author and speaker. She's traveling. She's already in North Carolina, where we'll be going. She's in Rocky Mountain, though. I want to give her a shout-out. Good morning, and a shout-out to Miss Tina and Lady Diana Flagg. They have a powerful event coming up tomorrow. It's their Women's Empowerment Women's Book Club meeting, where they meet and greet the author. And then I want to give a shout-out to my aunts and family members in Philadelphia, where I will be tomorrow at an event they're having at their church, and to a young lady here in Newark who's having an event tomorrow for teen girls, where I will be doing a workshop for the teen girls. So I want to give a shout-out to that group of girls. It's Women Speaking to Girls is the name of the group, and she brings in women who can empower these teens. So I'm looking forward to that. Of course, why wouldn't I? I was a horrible teen in my mind. So to be able to go back and give back to teens is just amazing. So again, like I said, your past can be used to give you a purpose in the future. And so though I was a horrible teen, now I get to go and empower teens. And that's exactly what I was talking about. Have a great, 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 awesome weekend. Make sure you stay cool or stay dry, whichever scenario you're experiencing. I know in various parts of the country, lots of storms. You know, it's that time of year, hurricanes, tornadoes, high winds. So continue to, you know, pray that you'll be safe. You'll be safe. It's, last night we had a pretty bad storm here, even in New Jersey. But we also had record-breaking temperatures. We had 101 in Newark. But other places are experiencing, that's every day for them. Like, I never forget, I was in Las Vegas that one time. Oh my God, it was 120 degrees, and that was their daily temperature. And it, so you really couldn't go outside during the day. You really have to have a lot of water and stuff. But it was fun. It gets very, very, very hot there. So don't forget, you got to keep moving on up, because in reality, there is no stopping you now. Well, this has been Coach Lalisa, and you have been tuned into the Coach Lalisa Show. We look forward to being back here on Monday morning. I'm excited. Go to Facebook. Connect with me on Facebook. Also, you'll see I have my there. We're offering our book, Release Your Power. If you haven't gotten your copy, make sure you get a copy of that. You can order it online, and we will ship it to you. And we look forward to seeing you next week. Have a great day, everybody.